How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Indeed, we got Giants tickets to the game against the White Sox on the 23rd, it's a Saturday, and brought to you by Benjamin Moore, that really, really cool, you've probably been seeing the ads, but that really cool Gigante hat, the chain hat, that they're going to be giving away that day. You'll know when you get the cue to call, so don't call yet. Don't call now, but... our contest line is where we will pay that off. We'll give you the number. You'll hear the sounder in a little bit and a chance to win Giants tickets. Yeah, I guess, you know, my mind is more just kind of on where this goes next. And I'm with Tony. This is a tough puzzle, and I don't really see what the answer is. So it's as easy right now just to be like, it's just a Tuesday. I'm going to play a baseball game. Matt's going to be okay. He's a big boy. I get all that. But this thing doesn't go anywhere. And your contention that you could do this for maybe a couple weeks and then make whatever that next move is, I'm like, well, what move is that?
Who knows?
I don't
we don't know what the future holds.
Trades are so difficult in May. They are very rare. I don't even know if
Dodgers made a trade yesterday, did they not?
Yeah, that's tiny stuff. We're talking about you're talking about big money deals.
Potentially. If it's Luis Arraez, it's not a big money deal.
Okay.
It's a guy's making $10 million and it's expiring.
Wouldn't you be bummed if they trade Luis Arraez in May?
Depends on where they go. If they lose 8 of 9,
I guess,
and
not.
Now, yeah, you know, you're 14 below, now you can start thinking about, you know, White Flag City.
And so I guess
that's why over the next couple of weeks, maybe it's 2 or 3 weeks, you see where the team is, you see how Bryce is doing, and you do a little bit of the roster juggle. If Casey Schmidt continues to be an 850 OPS guy, then he's got to probably play every day. But if he starts to find his level, which is probably a 750 OPS guy, I mean, he's allowed to be this good the whole year. But if he starts to normalize, then he's a guy who can maybe have a day where he sits. And you can definitely get creative with how you're going to go about doing this.
I don't know that you can.
And Bryce is not going to play every day, which I think is criminal. But that's been clear what they're doing.
Is it, or is it just what they said yesterday?
I don't know.
The week before, they said the opposite. And, oh, by the way, if you did get to a point, if you lost 8 of 9 and you wanted to trade Luis Arraez, I'd be ticked off that the Giants did it in May still. Because don't you want to get the best return on investment? The way you do that at the deadline in baseball is you wait and you get multiple bidders. I don't know what kind of return Luis Arraez would bring you, but
right,
I'd like to wait and find out. There's a reason everybody waits. You know what I mean? Like, the Rockies already know they're not going anywhere this year because they don't go anywhere any year. But whoever it is they want to deal this time around, they're not going to do it now. You wait till July, see if you can get 5 teams interested and up their bids. So that's all. I don't know, man. I just don't get it. I don't get what they're doing. That's all I can say.
Well,
I don't understand what they're doing.
I get what they're doing today, and that's Bryce plays and Matt sits. And you go through today, and you may have somebody who, you know, has a little small injury or something, and now they need to have a couple of days like Luis Arraez did, and so that might take some of the pressure off this lineup puzzle that Tony V is really, you know, dreading having to go through. Every day is different. You may get to tomorrow, and you may need Bryce to play because somebody else needs a day for whatever reason.
I mean, what about the larger thing? I mean, you're the one who brought up the Slusser quote. We're just dismissing that? Every single beat reporter has said the same thing. We're just dismissing that as like, too bad, tough stuff, buttercup, for all of them. Like, all of them have reported the exact same thing.
Which is the high-priced vets are going to be mad if they have to sit.
The infielders are not cool with days off, like rotating days off. They're just not feeling it. And if the Giants, some of you are right. The Giants have the power to be like, too bad. Too bad. You guys are 17 and 24, so too bad. They can do that, but I don't know. I just, I think that's a thing. That's a thing.
It just depends on like how a guy's going. So you go to Devers after today, and you know he has a couple hits again, whatever. You go to Devers and you say, yeah, you're gonna have to sit tomorrow because it's your turn. No chance. And he's hot, and you wouldn't do that. But right now, it's made a little bit easier by the fact that Matt Chapman is struggling.
I guess.
And so you can do that because he's on the struggle bus, and already, even though I think that they should be playing Eldridge more, it seems like they're not going to play him that often anyway. So you're really not in that much of a roster crunch unless Eldridge is going to play 5 of every 6 days.
Yeah, but
which he should.
But, right.
But he's not.
So you are in a roster crunch.
You're only in a crunch if they go about this the right way, which is young prospect, you get to play.
That's all.
But for some reason, they're not doing that.
That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is, what the hell are you doing? If you have him up with the big club, then he plays. Like, has that ever happened? I guess earlier we were talking, and Evan Giddings was saying a couple teams earlier this year, they did that. They brought up their young prospect, and they didn't play him all the time right away, and you kind of work your way into it. So I guess you could do that with Bryce Eldridge, but I don't think it's the right move.
Hmm. Any of those examples he bring up, did those guys just then blossom, or was that not good for them? I don't know. That's why I just like, that's all I'm saying. This is not a healthy situation for the players involved. I don't want to just make this about Matt Chapman sitting on a Tuesday night, but this doesn't work. If you get all these guys hitting like you want, then Bryce is going to get shoved out. So that's all. Like, the Giants have said this now about 4 different ways since last Sunday when they called Bryce Eldridge up. And I feel like with 1 week of evidence, they've already started to kind of look, what's the word? Inconsistent is the nicest way that I can say it.
Yeah. I was going to say amateurish.
Yeah.
Or almost like they're making it up as they go.
Which is already, from a PR standpoint, what you're worried about as the Giants this year. Your president of baseball ops is, I think he's younger than Steph Curry, for God's sakes. And your manager has never managed in the bigs. And so eyeballs are going to be up. Antennas are, you know, open. Antennas are going to be up with regard to how you guys are handling stuff like this. And we're early, so I don't think anybody's losing their mind yet. You know, Trevor McDonald, by the way, if you missed it, Trevor McDonald was a fun guy. Last night's starting pitcher. Odyssey app, YouTube, if you missed the interview earlier today. Frog Gigan, go check it out. But, you know, they're still in that moment where they're like, dude, Tony's a ton of fun, right? Drew Gilbert's hips. Like, we're having a great time out here. But I'm thinking about this entire picture. And I'm having a hard time with the algorithm right now. Doesn't look like this is the best thing for Bryce. I don't think it's the best thing for these infielders. And if you guys want to treat everybody with anger because they're not producing, that's fine. But as a Giants fan, I want to get them all to a point where they're producing. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's not to get mad at people who have a few offers and then bench them. It's like, let's get him going. And so I want Bryce to get at bats in Sacramento, and I want the Giants infielders to work their way through this. That's all.
Yeah, and a couple of them are working their way through it. And
exactly.
That's Adamas and Devers, and Chapman has not been able to work his way through it. And so now he sits tonight, and you can let that motivate you, or you can stew, or you can do whatever you need to do to be ready for Wednesday. But it's just one game, and unless Eldridge really starts to play more often than what they have said, this probably won't be that big of an issue too often, because you bring up Eldridge and you're not going to play him.
Right, so then there's the issue. Do you see what I'm saying?
There's an issue.
Thank you.
There's multiple issues.
That's all I'm saying.
And the biggest issue is that you've got somebody who doesn't really have command of the job running your organization. That's the biggest issue. You've got a legendary catcher with no front office experience running the front office. That is the biggest issue. You hire a rookie manager who had never been in pro ball before, and it's been a learning curve, and he's a fun soundbite, and he sure seems to make mistakes like other managers, and he's poking his way through the job. You gave out 9-figure contracts to guys who maybe aren't worthy of 9-figure contracts, and you've got an organization that is kind of making it up as they go along, in my opinion.
Well, or maybe this is actually going to make sense when we get to July. You know what I mean? He's been, I mean, think about the things that the Giants have taken criticism for. You can look, okay, the bullpen. The bullpen looks like you just hucked a bunch of people out there and you're praying. Well, they also knew that, and you can criticize them for this too, but they signed a bunch of people who they knew weren't going to quite be ready at the start of the season. Sam Hentges, Jason Foley, a lot of you fans are going to hear those names and you're like, who? What is that? Well, they're much more accomplished relievers. Could this thing take shape? You know, can Eric Miller come back? Can Killian grab this role? Can Keaton Wynn keep doing his thing? Could this be a much more stable bullpen a month from now? And by the way, their metrics would still suggest they're not a bad bullpen. It's just that we're mad because Ryan Walker experience and, you know, late game save situations and all that. But could that make more sense? You traded Patrick Bailey, Rafi Devers, Willie Adames, habitual slow starters. They get going. Maybe Buster realizes more than we do. And maybe their plan all along was to, hey, I got tweaks to make to this organization and this roster. This is going to take some time. There might be bumps early, but we know what we're doing and where we're heading. It's just that those of us out here don't know. Maybe that's the way that this is all going to go. I'm open to that. But A, you're right that at this moment, it's very, very hard to see. And especially this week. Listen, if they did a really good job of coming out and explaining their plan, I think we're in the kind of a season where fans would be like, all right, that's the plan. Let's go do it. But they've come out and publicly said sort of the opposite thing in back-to-back weeks. We're calling him up. He's here to play. We're not sending him back down. Very next Monday, he's here. Not going to start very much.
He'll play here and there.
Like, so you understand right. Why everybody's confused.
Because organizationally, you don't have a plan. And in the offseason, you go out and you sign Harrison Bader and you sign two back Chris Berman end of the rotation starting pitchers, and that was your plan? Robbie Ray is in the final year of his contract. I don't know if he'll return, and if so, how much they'll pay him. And for me, you didn't really address the need at rotation. You brought in a couple of back-end guys. One's been okay. Hauser tonight, I do think it's a pivotal start. You have a couple of guys that were drafted down in AAA. Now, Buster didn't draft him, but neither of the Carsons is really getting that next shot to come up here and try to do it again. And your bullpen was completely thrown together. And I know you've got Peguero coming back, and you've got Foley you just picked up, and he'll be your closer. Whatever, it's all kind of, to me, it's piecemealing it without any real anchor pieces. So your rotation is patchwork, other than your two big two at the top. And Landon Roop's been good.
Roop's been great.
He's been fine. So two of your starters are giant question marks. Your bullpen doesn't have a real threatening closer. And your offense, now you've got Eldridge up here and you don't have enough spots to play everybody. So organizationally, what are you doing? Like, what is the plan? Is the plan go all in with the vets? Okay, then Eldridge would be in Sacramento. Is the plan to have Eldridge come up here and jumpstart the offense? Well, then you have to play him. What's the plan? And you signed Luis Arraez, and I like the signing, but like, he's here for just 1 year. And you mentioned Jung-Hoo Lee. That happened before Buster got here, and you know he's out there playing okay. What's the plan? There is no plan.
I don't know either.
And
the Arraez thing, look, there's no way they could have known that Casey Schmidt was going to play this well. That's how I feel. I know that he was starting to do some good things at the end of last year. He deserves just a ton of credit. I'm so impressed with the way he's commanding the zone. And the way he's attacking things that are in the zone. He's a big, powerful kid. So he's starting to even bring some power to the team. He still leads the team in home runs at this hour. So, like, I'm very impressed by that. And I get that the Giants could not necessarily rely on that going into the season. But it's here. It's happening. That's great. I never would have thought that they could use Casey Schmidt on a daily basis as a designated hitter, but I think we've officially arrived at a time where you can. He's holding down a middle of the order spot, albeit for the worst offense in baseball, but still, he's doing it. And then they did this. And so, listen, that's part of my belief. My belief is the timing of this had something to do with calming a lot of the fan base down. And that just feels a little bit underhanded to Bryce. Like, in the end, when we all talk about who's kind of taking one on the chin here, I feel like we've just had a conversation for an hour that makes it sound like I'm caping up for Matt Chapman. It's not. It's Bryce. It's Bryce. Bryce is the one who's being put in a bad spot here, not anybody else. Matt, take a day off here or there. You're mad about it. You're not mad about it. Whatever. Like, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But Bryce is the one who is being put in a bad spot. I think you got pulled up after an 0-6 road trip, which, A, made it feel like you had to put a cape on and save the organization. I feel like marketing was part of why you came. Then you get here. Then they announce that suddenly, most of the time, you're not even going to play. But we're not going to send you back down. But we all damn well know that if he doesn't play well, he may get sent back down. Just feels like he's getting jerked around a little bit. That's all.
Big time. And if you're 21 and you're a baseball player, you want to play baseball. And sure, you know, if you asked him, he probably would rather be up here getting 8 at-bats a week as opposed to being in Sacramento and traveling to Round Rock and, you know, getting your full 4 or 5 at-bats every single day and, you know, plane rides and bus rides and whatever it is. But you'd rather be in the bigs, but you want to play. So he's kind of being set up to fail, because if he's up here playing 1 out of every 3 or 4 games, it's going to be difficult, and you're facing Yamamoto tonight, one of the best pitchers in the National League. So odds are you're going to struggle. He's a great pitcher, and you're not coming in with any rhythm.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, who wants to put that on Bryce? You know what I mean? Okay, you get 3 at-bats tonight. Let's see it, kid. And then
you sit tomorrow.
What's that? Exactly.
And maybe Thursday as well.
What if he hits 2 homers tonight? Now how does the fan base feel when he's not in the lineup the next day? They already did it once. Kind of did it twice. He homered on Saturday.
Yep.
Didn't play again until tonight. So that's all. That's really all I'm pointing out. Like, you got a cycle here. You got a pie chart, whatever you want to call it. You have a puzzle, and the pieces don't quite fit. So, you know, what is the solution? Now you're stuck. Because I wouldn't have called him up last week, but they did. And so now it looks even worse to send him right back down. So now you're kind of pot committed. You're pot committed to do what we're talking about for a little while, which is uncomfortable for a lot of people, I think.
I think it's a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. You get through May, and at that point you have a better chance to look at not only what your record is, but did everyone stay healthy? And how has Bryce looked in 3 weeks? And, you know, figuring 3 weeks, maybe he has 50 at-bats between now and the end of May. You would hope he gets that many, but hopefully you can see what you need to see from Bryce. And if there's a spot that opens up because, you know, if somebody gets a little bit dinged up or somebody really cools off, this could work itself out. But right now, it's a daily guess for the puzzle.
All right, that's it. That's the cue right there. Caller 5 contest line right now, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. Pair of tickets to see the Giants and the White Sox at Oracle Park next Saturday, May 23rd, courtesy of Benjamin Moore. You get the chain hat. Good luck. If you don't win today, we got another pair tomorrow. We got another pair coming up tomorrow. So, caller 5 right now, 415-523-4652. Go to the Giants game a week from this Saturday. Get yourself a hat and a W.
Yeah, good luck. Will Venable homecoming, pride of Santa Fe High School.
Explain.
Managing the White Sox. His father, Max, was a great Giant in the 80s.
Definitely the
80s. In the 80s,
I was always trying to get that baseball card. Max Venable. He was one of my favorites when I was a little kid.
Yeah, great guy.
I didn't know why.
You wanted it?
I just liked his batting stance or something like that. I was probably like, I think he played in the early 80s, actually.
That's why I was thinking maybe 70s, 80s, but it was the early 80s.
6 years old.
Yep.
Like, I need a Max Venable baseball card. Why? I don't know. I just liked I like the way that thing looks.
So Will is the manager of the White Sox, and he was a two or actually maybe even a three sports star at Santa Fe High before going to Princeton and deciding, huh, baseball, huh? Because he was a basketball player, phenomenal basketball player. And then I give this baseball thing a try, played in the pros, and now he's the manager of the White Sox.
Oof. All right, there you have it. On their way to town. By the way, I'm going to be out there that day with the whole Cal Poly class. So if you end up winning these tickets, turn around and take a look at the press box and wave. It's going to be like a party of 20 in there.
You're going to have them all in the box?
Yeah.
But there's not enough seats.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Really?
Absolutely.
Cram all you in there?
No problem.
All 20 of you?
No problem.
Wow. You got pole down there, Third and King.
Yeah.
Press box pole.
I think that's where we're sitting.
Okay.
That's where we sat last year. Yep. Yeah, maybe we'll go up to the roof. I don't know. But I think so. So that'll be fun. Yeah. No, the Giants are awesome about that. So the other side to this conversation to me is also what I called last night a hold up, wait a minute game, which is, I don't know, man. We're on the yo-yo with this team right now. I get it. They win a game and you're like, okay, maybe they get something going. And then they lose a really ugly one and you're like, never mind. This is silly. But I keep thinking to myself, it's May 12th and I'm not interested in giving up on seasons on May 12th. Please don't take that as a prediction. Do I see this as a competitor in the playoff chase at this hour? No, I do not. But that doesn't mean I want to stop rooting for it. So even this idea of trading Patrick Bailey, which kicked in a bunch of national reports that the Giants would love to get out from underneath any of these contracts, kind of an odd report the more I think about it. And it came from Bob Nightingale, who, by the way, was on the morning roast today. Take a listen to some of what he said. First off, how the Giants are viewed nationally.
Well, just that they were bold in the moves, but they haven't worked out and hasn't been good. But, you know, can things change? Sure. But right now they invest a lot of money, made the bold moves by, making the trade with Devers and that kind of contract for Adamas. I don't think the Brewers even made an offer for Adamas. And, of course, hiring Tony Vitello. So, you know, made some big gambles so far and they haven't worked out.
Do you hear that? I didn't even hear that the first time. Brewers didn't even make an offer for Willie Adamas.
Right.
Didn't even make him offer.
But the Giants did.
The team that knows him best.
Right.
Didn't even make an offer. Giants were like, how about 182?
Man, 7 years, buck 82.
Buyer's remorse for the Giants?
They have to at this point, you know, unless these guys start get going, particularly Devers. I mean, I know he's been better the last couple of days, but he's been a shadow himself, you know, since the Red Sox days. Adamas hasn't looked anything like he did in Milwaukee. Chapman, they know him, of course, and, they signed that extension, and he probably would have got that money from somewhere else, but he just hasn't, you know, produced those numbers yet either, and neither has Lee, of course.
So here's what this kind of got me thinking. It made me realize something. This report coming out actually on May 10th, Mother's Day, or whatever. Was it Saturday or Sunday that Patrick Bailey got traded? I think that was Saturday.
Yeah, the 9th, I think.
Yeah, and then the reports come out. There's like, Giants would love to get rid of those contracts. And you know what went through my head, which surprised me? I didn't even think I felt this way, but that helped me realize that I do. I don't want them to move on from those guys yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not giving up yet. Lucas brought up to me that before the season, you know, you and I were all doing our sort of preseason content and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I did a whole video about, like, the one thing that we know about this team. The only thing that we know is that the infield will hit. Whoops. Now they are now. Yeah. Arise is all year. Devers is now, Adamas is now, Chapman is not, but over the long haul, will that be proven to be a poor take? Seems likely, but not definitely, I guess, but I'm not there yet. I'm not there
yet. Well, it's May 12th.
Yeah.
You don't have to be there.
No, but I'd like, well, but it's set, like that report makes it sound like the Giants are there. And that's why I called last night, hold up, wait a minute game. Like, don't do that yet. That feels very, that feels like defeatist too early.
It's a little premature. I mean, you're 41 games in, so we just got by the quarter pole, 1/4 of the season is down, and it was not good. 17-24 is definitely not good, but you mentioned Adames is starting to hit. He still only has 3 home runs, so he's actually getting hits and driving in runs, which is nice, but I'm just wondering about the power outage for Chapman and Adames. I mean, neither one of them is even threatening the outfield fence very often. So, you know, Devers is starting to connect, and he's starting to show that opposite field power, and he's starting to show that he's a legit power bat, but Chapman, no, and Adames, no, Jungwoo Lee, no. Like, this team just does not hit home runs.
Do you believe, this is the conversation we got into earlier, do you believe in the talent that the Giants have?
Do I believe in the talent?
Yeah.
I mean, not really.
Okay.
Like,
why?
Because, like, if you want to compare it to other teams, it's just not that good. Like,
okay, compare it to another team, not the Dodgers.
I mean, there's the big ones, obviously, like, you know, the Dodgers and the Yankees and some other of those vaunted lineups. And the Giants were never built to compete with that. Even the Padres. The Padres have a better lineup, but I think that they've scored about the same number of runs, right? The Padres and the Giants on the year.
Yeah, the Padres haven't scored a whole lot of runs. I mean, even if I, like, this is fascinating to me. So the Braves have the best record in the National League. How does the Giants' talent compare to the Braves? Just go through their lineup. How do you feel about the Braves' talent versus the Giants' talent? Just talent.
I mean, the Braves, I think, have more talent. And maybe it's because I'm too close to the Giants' situation. And, you know, you see what the Giants roll out on the regular. And they have a lot of 7th and 8th place hitters in their lineup.
I mean, do you know who is... So, like, sure, there's Matt Olson, and there's Ronald Acuna. Ronald Acuna, though, has 2 home runs this year.
Yeah.
He's not doing much. So there's some big names, but the Giants have big names. They got Rafael Devers and Willy Adames and Matt Chapman and Luis Arraez. I mean, the Braves are starting Mauricio Dubon. He's out there in center field and playing utility. Yaz is on that team and hitting 200 with no home runs.
He's up to 200.
Exactly, up to 200. Austin Riley is hitting 213 for that team.
Ozzie Albies has 8 home runs.
Yep, and is hitting 306.
Drake Baldwin's got 10.
Drake Baldwin is someone who I bet most fans don't even know who that is.
Right. So there's names, and then there's productivity.
Sure.
So the Giants have some names, and, you know, Adames and Devers and Chapman. Well, Chapman is reaching career lows. Adames is not even at 600 OPS, and Devers is starting to be Devers. So
it's kind of odd, though.
Those
man.
Are your big three. And then beyond that, like, Jungwoo Lee is dead average, flat average player. Harrison Bader, you signed him to a 2-year deal. He's barely hitting 100. And to your point about Atlanta, like, Casey Schmidt, outside of this market, I don't think that a Braves fan knows Casey Schmidt.
Nor do they know who Elliot Ramos is. I mean,
exactly.
They know, like, I know the name. But you don't know much about those guys. And Ramos is quietly, let's see, what's the OPS is up to 760 for Elliot Ramos.
Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah. Yep.
He's been great.
Like, there is still a tinge of me that looks at this lineup and goes, I don't get it. I don't get why it's this bad. So if I were Buster Posey, and we're all going to rip Buster Posey for constructing the roster, and I do think that it's been a poorly constructed roster, but not because of the names who are in the lineup. I think it's been constructed poorly because, as you were talking about earlier, like, they didn't really follow a path or a plan. They keep thinking they want good defense, and then they replace good defense because they're not getting any offense.
Right.
They don't know exactly who their bullpen is. If you're pitching Oracle Park, you need a bullpen. You need a very defined bullpen. They didn't do it. So we can poke holes in all that, but when you tell me who's trotting out there for the starting lineup at the beginning of the year, do you remember what all of us were saying? It was the most excited we had been about a lineup
about an offense,
in years.
Well, part of it was you were going to have guys who just played all the time, regulars, and they have.
And they have.
Like, Chapman now is going to sit because he's struggling, and you need to get Bryce in there. But
still a regular.
And Devers and Arraez and... You know, Adames certainly has played in all the games. Jungwoo Lee's played in every single game. So, yeah, you're excited about the fact that they have regulars, but they're ordinary. the majority of these guys are having years worse than what you expected.
Right.
And that's the problem.
I kind of don't get it. It doesn't really make any sense. Like, we know what we're looking at. I know that I can go around the diamond and talk about the imperfections of each, but it doesn't really make sense that it looks like this. So what that means to me is that there is at least a, and albeit less than 50% of me, but there's a percentage of me that still believes in the talent that the Giants have and that they will hit better. Is this the start of it? God, I hope so. I really, really hope so. I don't know, but I hope that this sustains on some level. I'm not going to ask for 8 runs a night like they've been doing for the last 48 hours, but I hopefully this is the start of something. But there's a little piece of me that wants to push back on this idea. Boy, the Giants want to get out from under these contracts. Wait a second.
Well, they might.
But that's waving the white flag.
Right, and it's too early for that.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Don't wave the white flag just yet.
They won't on May 12th, but to your point about like these players and you don't get it, Willie Adames is a 220 hitter. That's what he's been for the majority of his career, but he's got that pop, and he's got 3 home runs. So he's hitting 215, which, I mean, you'll take it. You'd rather have 240, but 215 with 3 home runs. Matt Chapman is a career 240 hitter, but he's always shown some pop. He's got 1 home run. So not only are these guys not hitting as often as they used to, they've got no power. Chapman hit 21 home runs last year, and he's got 1.
Mm-hmm.
And Adames hit 30, and he's got 3. So that, to me, is the really appalling part of what's going on, is you as a team have 27 home runs total in 40 games. That is far and away worse than baseball.
Yeah, no, it's not enough. It's not enough. But maybe they'll come in bunches.
I mean, they did for Adames last year.
Yeah, and Devers is having a come-in-bunches sort of a moment right now. And, you know, yeah, maybe these things will even out. Maybe Rafi Devers is still going to hit 30 home runs this year.
Yeah, he
or
might.
North of 25.
You would hope.
You think he'll get north of 25?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what, Adames has got... No, you're talking Adames
Devers?
Oh, Devers for sure.
For sure?
He's got 5, and we haven't even gotten to Colorado, and we haven't even gotten into the real hot months. You know, Arizona, place you can hit home runs, so...
But that's the point. Like, he's got 5, but 4-5 days ago, he hit 2.
Yeah.
So, maybe they come in bunches. All right, we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water, 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch 4. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
Warriors officially announced that Steve Kerr has signed a new 2-year contract extension.
All right, Steve Kerr.
Back. I know a lot of people have asked, so is he coming on the show? Yeah, of course he's coming on the show.
Yeah.
What day?
Yep.
Tomorrow?
No. No.
Thursday?
Probably not.
Friday?
Maybe not.
Next week?
Maybe. Maybe Friday. I mean,
how about you come by tomorrow as we are at Chase Center? You're already going to be there, Steve.
Well, they released a statement, but they haven't done a press conference
yet.
No,
we're going to be there.
We're going to be there.
For the Valkyries game.
He's not going to be there.
He better be already putting in the work. Like,
I think he's going to do it on Zoom.
He should be sitting down with Draymond and Steph and talking about turnovers right now. How we cut down on those turnovers.
No, he should be on YouTube grinding on college tape. That's what he should be doing.
Well, it's not what he does.
Yeah, it is now.
It is now.
Steve Kerr's making that pick.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, he's going to have input.
I think the pick is on the move.
Yeah, all right.
Do you really think so?
I think that they're going to try like heck.
You think the Warriors are going to trade the pick?
Trades are hard.
Ooh.
Trades are hard.
God, I'm just in a mood to bet stuff today.
The Bucks want to have a resolution on the Giannis thing before the draft, and the Warriors have a juicy pick at 11, and they also are covetous of Giannis.
I don't think the Warriors are getting Giannis.
Well, someone is.
Someone is. Yes. I don't think it will be the Warriors.
Yeah, who knows?
You think they're trading the pick?
I think they'd like to.
Okay, but do you think they will?
I have no idea, Mark.
I know, but you got to make a guess.
When's the draft? It's like the 15th or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say my guess would be no, because I think they would trade the pick for Giannis, and I don't know if they're even the front runners for Giannis.
I don't think so. Are you looking up Kalshi right now?
Of course, and I'm checking my account, see if my Kerr money's coming.
You can always tell when you have your Kalshi voice on. You kind of go a little bit lower on the microphone, and you look down.
You got to check the Kalshi.
What are the odds on Giannis?
Well, the former Giannis market was closed. I don't know if they've opened up a new one yet. I'll check. Because
I thought you could trade on anything.
You can, but they had an expiration date for the first one, which was at the deadline.
But there's got to be a new one. There's got to be.
Yeah, it looks like stays with Milwaukee or retires, 19%.
No.
Boston, 17%.
Boston.
Miami, 10%.
Uh-huh.
New York and L.A. are now ahead of Milwaukee. Golden State's at 7%.
I don't think they're getting Giannis.
Charlotte, 1%.
I don't think they're getting Giannis.
You're probably right.
I think the Warriors are going to make the pick.
Yeah, New York on the rise, up to 21%.
I think the Warriors are going to make the pick.
Lakers at 20%. Giannis a Laker. Giannis and Luka and Austin Reeves. Yuck. That's all I have to say about that. And you got to take Alex and Thanasis with you, too. All the Antetokounmpos have to go.
Where do you think LeBron's playing?
Let me check on Kalshi.
Anthony Slater on the morning roast. LeBron to the Warriors, is it possible?
They've been interested in the past, and LeBron has kind of declined in the past, like, if we're being honest, right? Some of this stuff has been reported. I think, to your question, like, yeah, they'd be interested, but right now we're talking about, like, they could clear, like, mid-level money. You know, Cleveland's similar. Like, part of the trouble I think LeBron might have is, like, this is no longer, like, a cap space, unrestricted free agent type league. So it would have to maybe be a sign and trade. Would the Lakers even be interested in something like that? And, you know, I think that the Lakers showed, when a lot of this buzz of him potentially leaving was going on, I think the Lakers were in a tougher spot. They actually impressed before Luka got hurt. LeBron was kind of sliding into this, like, third type role. They're in the second round. Like, yeah, they're getting pounded by the Thunder, but who isn't? I tend to believe he may go back, honestly.
Okay.
59% stays in LA or retires.
He probably doesn't want to leave LA.
25% Cleveland.
His son is on the team.
Cleveland?
No, the Lakers.
I mean, yeah, I guess he kind of is.
His son's on the team. Would you leave?
Depends on, you know, whether or not I wanted to be elsewhere.
Slate's also weighed in on that idea. Trade or make the pick. What do you think he said?
He said make the pick.
Let's find out.
If it was top four, I would be stunned if they would have used it as a trade asset. Now that it's 11, it feels like it's something they'll at least explore their options in the trade market. Obviously, if they go into the Giannis sweepstakes, the Kawhi, you know, if Kawhi's made available, all that, it's something that those teams rightfully will be like, you know, that's prime chip one. We want the 11th pick in this draft. And then they need to decide how much they like the 11th pick, you know, whoever's going to be available at 11. Because for example, the Jimmy Butler trade last deadline or two deadlines ago, however you want to term it. I know part of the reason they were willing to put that immediate first in the trade with Wiggins to get Butler was because they didn't love the 15 to 20 range of that draft. They needed to decide how much they love the 11 range of this draft. And I think that's, again, what kind of the next month's about.
Okay. If it had been top four, no way in hell they would trade it. But now that it's 11, they'll explore. But again, I don't think they're getting Giannis, and my take is that's the only guy I'd give it up for.
Right, and I think that if that's the backdrop and other teams are going to have more pick assets to throw at Milwaukee for Giannis, then the Warriors probably aren't getting Giannis. But then again, do these other teams have that much salary, disposable salary? The Warriors could package Jimmy Butler, the number 11 pick, and two other firsts. And would that be enough? Or you know, can Milwaukee get a better offer?
You know what the Warriors might want to try doing? You know, you've taken a lot of, or at least let me put it this way. You've made a lot of comments about what Tony Vitello shares.
Right, he shares a lot.
He shares a lot. And sometimes that can get you into trouble. I think it might be smart for the Warriors to kind of try to publicly tap the brakes on the whole, hey, you know Joe Lacob is big game hunting all the time. Because what happens is I wonder if Joe Lacob, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I wonder if he's ever going to get Farhan'd. Here's what I mean by that. Farhan ended up with the reputation that he would big game hunt and fail. And no one's ever going to mistake Joe Lacob for Farhan. But I do wonder about this whole idea. If you keep telling everybody you're big game hunting and you keep not getting anyone, is that going to start sort of like leading to some sort of a reputation or a vibe that people don't really like? You know, you're after Giannis. Again, not going to get him. Listen to what Slate said. Well, they've tried to get LeBron before, and he's pretty much politely declined.
Same thing with Kevin Durant.
Same thing
and
with Kevin
the
Durant.
The Clippers apparently rebuked your efforts to get Kawhi.
Right, and Jimmy Butler had to have his arm twisted and a bunch
and
of money.
And his pockets full, yes.
Yeah. So, like, I think we've all danced around this a little bit, the idea of whether or not the Warriors are as attractive maybe as they think they are. I think they're a great organization. I think they're attractive. But are they as attractive as they think they are?
We will find out. I think this summer is a good time to really find out.
Fair question, right?
Right.
I mean, so they, oh, Joe, he's going to go big game hunting, and there's all these names we're tossing around. It sort of feels likely to me that not getting any of them.
Well, Giannis, I think, would be the only one that is even semi-likely. And, like, the Clippers, they probably still don't want to help you, Joe, and
right.
deal with the Warriors. And I don't think LeBron's coming here to play for the mid-level. He may actually stay in Los Angeles and give it one more shot down there. I don't think he's going to retire. So it may just come down to Giannis. And I would imagine that the Bucks are going to get a lot of better offers from other teams that are more likely lottery teams in the future?
Not just offers. My read on the Giannis and Warriors thing has always been that can happen if Giannis tells the Bucks, I want to be a Warrior. That's kind of been my read on it.
Right.
If he and I don't think he's gonna do that. I don't think he's gonna do that.
He might. Wouldn't,
why would he do that?
Because they are a good organization and sure. they take care of their people, and you get sure. to play with Steph for a couple of years.
Yeah, but
play like, for Steve Kerr if you like Steve. I mean, there's a lot of things that are currently attractive.
Those are attractive things, but you left out the one that usually drives this bus.
And he would get an extension.
No, that's not the one I'm talking about. Can I win a ring there next year?
Oh, can I bring my brothers with me? That's a yes.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if Giannis is a guy like a ring chaser.
It's not ring chasing. It's enabling the possibility.
If you're like Giannis, you think that wherever you go, it's a possibility. As long as you have some support around you.
I mean, joining a non-playoff team where the other stars are closing in on 40?
Yeah, probably not the best spot.
Like that's all I'm saying. I would feel like there are greener pastures elsewhere. Is what I would feel.
Yeah, New York and Boston for sure.
What are you doing on the radio, Granny? What's about to happen?
When you guys got the Giants lineup, it featured Bryce Eldridge, but not Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
And you guys got into argument might be the right word. It was a good conversation,
yeah,
and that's we're gonna relive that.
Okay.
Coming up next.
Okay. All right. That's what's coming up. Thanks everyone for being here today. We'll do it again tomorrow. By the way, Andrew Bogut is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Awesome.
And I'm debating whether or not we should play for him a Boom Goes the Dynamite. I don't know why this just popped into my head. Do you remember that famous old YouTube video?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Did it involve Andrew Bogut?
It absolutely did.
Oh, wow.
Lucas and I watched it again before the show. And he was going over, I think, the All-Americans that year. And Andrew Bogut was one of the All-Americans. And so he called him Andrew Bogut.
That's so awesome. Andrew, and boom goes the dynamite.
Andrew Bogut. Yeah. Hackam Warwick. I mean, it's
genius. I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
Go watch it. It will.
Was it an anniversary of some sort or?
No.
It just, had you thinking of
We're having Bogut on and I'm like, I think that kid said Bogut's name a bunch of times in that video. So we looked it up and he does. All-American alongside Hackam Warwick.
Oh my God. So good.
Who are you?
Anyway. So we'll do that tomorrow. Here comes Grandy. He's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. I assume you want to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll give you one more this week.
Okay. All right. We'll do it again tomorrow for Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.